So that's nice and cool for the month of September. 15, if you don't have an outline, this is our third week. Brother Travis, this is our third week on Proverbs 15, so I don't know if anybody doesn't have one. I think I've got four here, guys, so. But we're continuing and, Lord willing, finishing up Proverbs chapter 15 this morning. Next weekend is going to be a very exciting and special weekend here at Bible Baptist Church. You'll notice the flyer that's in the bulletin this morning, and that is the revival services Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. And those will be very special times. Evangelist Ray Meyer will be with us. He'll have a big board set up here because he does a chalk talk along with his preaching. On Saturday of this coming week, we're going to have the ordination of Brother Lewis Braden. And we're going to have a private ceremony with him. The preachers that are on his ordination committee will meet with him at 4 o'clock downstairs. And they will grill him with Bible questions to make sure he is an adequate candidate. Now, we wouldn't do this if we didn't already know that, but that's a formality you kind of have to do. The preachers that are going to ordain him, we sit around in a little group and basically just make sure he believes the tenets of our faith, which we already know he does, so it's not a big problem. But those men that are on the ordination committee, which will be Brother Matthews and Brother Ayers and myself, and Brother Ray Meyer that will be here for the revival meeting. His son, Steve Meyer, is coming from Oklahoma this weekend also. And that was Brother Lewis's pastor for the last 9 years over in Oklahoma. So he'll be coming out for it also. And then Brother Andrew Decker, Brother Lewis requested a friend of his from Bible College who pastors up in North Canton, Ohio, Bible Believers. So all those men will grill him at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Just ask him questions, make sure everything is okay. Then at 5 o'clock, we'll come up here for a public service. You're all welcome to attend that if you're interested in the public service for Brother Lewis. That's when we'll do his ordination. It'll be just a song and some special music. And then Brother Steve Meyer, his former pastor, is going to preach the challenge for Brother Lewis. And then we will lay hands on him at the end of that 5 o'clock service and ordain him into the ministry. Ordination is not required to preach. Obviously, Brother Lewis has been doing that here for quite a while and was in Oklahoma. It is more of a, I don't want to say symbolic because it's biblical. Ordination is in the Bible, but it's more of us giving our approval, and it's kind of a legal requirement for him to do some of the things that, for instance, performing marriages. You have to be ordained and then file for a marriage license to do things like that. So it's just recognition of what he's doing. So we want to do that next Saturday. Then at 6 o'clock, those that are here for the ordination service, we're going to have dinner downstairs at 6 o'clock because we're having a 7 o'clock revival meeting. So it's going to be a busy Saturday afternoon, especially for those preachers on the ordination committee, starting at 4 and going to the end. 5 for those that come for the public service, and then 6 o'clock, Brother Ayers. Did I say Brother Ayers already? He's going to be on the ordination committee. He's preaching up in Michigan today, isn't he? Parkview Baptist Church. All right. We were talking about that before. Parkview Baptist Church. Brother Ayers is preaching up there for the, is it their anniversary, Jan?
Having a Friends Day.
Friends Day, okay. And they invited Merle. That's nice. Okay. All right, so Brother Merle's preaching. He'll be on it. So all those, next Saturday, all those involved in those services will be here. So we encourage you to come out if you're interested for the ordination service at 5, but especially for the service at 7. And then at 6 will be the dinner. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby for those that would like to help us with feeding those that will be here, especially the preachers from out of town that will be here for the ordination, and family members of Brother Lewis that will be here for that, and then church members that are coming also, we're going to try to feed them. So there's a sign-up sheet out there. Even if you're not planning to be here, if you want to contribute something for the meal, the sign-up sheet actually tells you what we need, so it's not just an arbitrary thing. It's kind of like what Gary and Jane do for the senior saints. So pick something there if you would and have part in that. But we'll look forward to an exciting weekend next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with Brother Meyer. All right, Proverbs chapter 15. I gave you enough time to find it this morning. Proverbs chapter 15. We left off On the back of your first page there, we left off with the questions of trouble, which is Roman numeral 5. And we covered the trouble by ambition, letter A, the trouble by animosity, letter B, the trouble caused by apathy, just don't care. Letter D, we kind of concluded there, the trouble caused by antipathy. And antipathy just means a natural aversion, wanting to stay away from. And here, the foolish man that disregards his parents' advice, his mother's advice, it says, a foolish man despiseth his mother. And I believe that brings us down to letter E, and that is the trouble caused by absurdity. There's a nice word. That's absurd. We've heard that word. A-B-S-U-R-D. Absurd. A-B-S-U-R-D-I-T-Y. Folly is joy. That's what's absurd. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Folly is joy. Those two words should not go together, folly and joy. But look at our modern society, how they have fun with those things that are foolish. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. One of the problems with humanity that is a long-term problem is a man works his job from Monday through Friday, walks home with his paycheck, or walks out the door of the workplace Friday at 5 o'clock or whatever time with that money in his hand, and instead of heading home, heads out with the boys, goes out to the bars, blows that money that he worked all week to acquire, and then finally stumbles home about 2 o'clock in the morning. Folly is joy to them that are destitute of wisdom. And he goes out till 2 in the morning, then finally crawls into his bed and sleeps it off on Saturday just to go out again on Saturday night to do it again, leaving the wife and leaving the kids and leaving the family at home to fend for themselves, basically. And then by Monday, when he goes back to work, very little money is left. But the Bible says, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Uprightly, again, not bent over, but walking circumspect. He walks uprightly. He gets his paycheck Friday, just like the other guy. But he goes home, hands some money to his wife to go out and get the groceries and the things that are needed for the children, spends his day Saturday with the family and with the kids, doing something special with them. That's the contrast between the two. The absurdity of that one that has joy in folly, while the other man has understanding and walks uprightly. The greatest thing to get a man to walk uprightly is the Spirit of God in his heart and in his soul. Salvation is the cure for that man that thinks folly is joy. So trouble caused by absurdity. Letter F, trouble caused by adversity. Adversity. Verse number 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man hath joy, not by folly, by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. Oh yes, how good is it? Trouble that's caused by adversity. Number one is the cause of adversity. The cause. Without counsel. Surround yourself with good counsel. It is sensible to get a second opinion. Even society knows that. When going to a doctor and they say you need this or you need that, get a second opinion. When shopping for a car, don't buy the first one you see. Look for a second alternative in everything we do. More than one. Think things through. Evaluate things. Pray about things. Don't be in a rush. The cause of adversity is many times we just do things as a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what gets us into trouble. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Get another person's take on things. Get another person's viewpoint. And then think it through. Think it through. Pray about it. Examine it. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they, the purposes, are established. If the Apostle Paul had listened to counsel, his story would have been so different. Keep your place in Proverbs, but look if you would over at Acts chapter 20. What do we get by seeing the bad decision of the Apostle Paul? It's not recorded to be a blight on his character. It's recorded to show us that even the greatest Christian that ever lived still was human and still made bad mistakes and didn't listen to counsel. Look in Acts chapter 20. You know, the Apostle Paul set his heart toward Jerusalem. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, not the apostle to the Jews. God called him, and Paul said in Galatians, he knew from his very conversion that God had sent him to be a preacher to the uncircumcision and Peter to the circumcision. But Paul had a heart for his own people. We read Romans chapter 9. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they would be saved. But in that zeal and desire for the conversion of the Jews, he made a decision that was outside the will of God. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to preach to them. In Acts chapter 20, notice what Paul himself says down in verse number 23. Well, verse 22. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now, there's something very interesting in verse 22. I go bound in the Spirit. Notice that word Spirit is not a capital S. He's not bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He's bound by his own spirit, his own desire, his own motivation, his own will. I want, my spirit wants to go to Jerusalem. But notice verse 23. "Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." God's spirit was telling him, don't go. His spirit was telling him, I want to go. Notice in chapter 21, verse number 10. Luke says, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place," Luke says, both we, he's included, "and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." The Holy Ghost said, don't go. His friends in the ministry said, don't go. The prophet Agabus said, don't go. But what did Paul do? He went. He got there, and in chapter 22, he makes a great speech there in the temple in Jerusalem. And by the end of that, he's being pulled apart almost to death. He's taken and he's almost whipped and beaten. He's sent to Rome, where he has a shipwreck on the way. Paul's whole life would have been different if he had have listened to counsel. So Proverbs says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The cause of adversity, not taking counsel. Number two, the cure for adversity. The cure for adversity. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Call that a happy tongue. You have a happy tongue? I hope you do. You can overcome a lot of things in this life and in this world by having a positive outlook, a happy tongue. Now, it's not the cure to all things. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A helpful tongue. Now, that's not on our outline, But it's a happy tongue and a helpful tongue. A word spoken in due season. How good is it to have the answer of the mouth and a helpful tongue to those that are in need, to those that are down, to those that need encouragement, to those that need built up. The trouble caused by adversity, verse 22 and verse 23. Then verse 24 and 25, Roman numeral 6, the question of triumph. The question of triumph. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the wicked. The question of triumph, letter A, the triumph of the wise. The way of life is above. The way of life is above. I'll say it again. The way of life is above. We say it this way. We're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Because our way of life is down here. We're focused on down here. Everything around us wants our attention to be down here. Focused on Hollywood, focused on Washington, focused on sports, focused on everything is here is to get our focus down here. But the Bible says the way of life is to above. Everything down here is depressing. Have you ever figured that out? Everything down here is depressing. Now there's little moments and rays of sunshine, but basically overall, the world's just headed toward hell. And there's not a whole lot to get from this world that's worth anything. The way of life is above to the wise. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things. Where are your affections? Not your necessities, but your affections. The things you love, where are they? The Bible says they should be above. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The triumph of the wise. Then letter B, the triumph of the widow. Verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but will establish the border of the widow. The culture of Solomon's day was to despise the widow, to look down upon her. Many cultures have not changed. Many cultures are like that today. We hear from Brother Roberts in his Vietnam ministry, and the reason a lot of his orphans are there is because the widow doesn't want to be a widow. And she's willing to sacrifice her children and leave her children because she'll marry a man that doesn't want anything to do with her children because they're from a different man. So she'll forsake her children to marry because that's worse than carrying the stigma of being a widow, because in those cultures, that's greatly despised. The Bible makes a different characterization of it. In fact, the Bible in the New Testament, it emphasized those Jewish people that were prone to think that way to take care of the widows and orphans because God esteems them. The triumph of the widow, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Those that focus on themselves and only themselves, but will establish the border of the widow. The question of triumph. Then we get to the last page of our notes. And we find in verse 26 to verse 28 the question of trespassing. The question of trespassing. We know what trespasses are. We're not talking about walking on somebody else's property. We're talking about crossing the line where God establishes a line. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Trespasses are those things where we cross the line, where we step over God's boundary. We want to think that those boundaries are murder and adultery and thievery, corruption, some of those big things. But you know, when it comes to the life and the heart of a believer, especially the mature believer, those things aren't issues anymore. But Solomon addresses three things here in verse 26 to 28 that are trespasses that Solomon focuses his thought on and mind on. And the first question of trespass that he addresses in verse 26 are vile thoughts. Vile, V-I-L-E, not V-I-A-L, but V-I-L-E, vile thoughts. Verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." The thoughts of the wicked, vile thoughts, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. The thoughts. Our thoughts determine what we say and do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts determine our actions. Many times the sins we commit are done outwardly because we've mulled over them inwardly. Not too many sins are just reactionary sins. In fact, the Lord kind of overlooks those much easier than he does the ones that are premeditated. And what we put into our mind, the thoughts, and what we do affects the things that we do outwardly. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord. You know, sometimes you can tell what other people are thinking. You just get used to them, around them enough, you can tell by their body language. You can tell when they're thinking. You know when they're lying and when they're telling the truth, because they have little telltale signs. I guess those that are good at poker and card games are good at spotting little telltale things of their opponent. They can read their body language. Well, you know what the amazing thing is about the Lord is he doesn't need body language. He knows our thoughts. Those two verses in the New Testament, Matthew 9:4 says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts." Jesus, knowing their thoughts. You understand? The Lord knows what you're thinking about right now. He understands what we're thinking about all the time. That is a humbling thing. To know that wherever we're at and whatever we're doing, the Lord knows exactly what we're thinking about. Those thoughts are trespasses. Do we ask God to forgive us our trespasses? When we're thinking about something that's impure, unclean, unholy, unworthy, do we immediately stop and say, "God, I don't know why that popped into my mind, but that's a trespass against you, and I acknowledge my sins and my iniquities are ever before me." Vile thoughts. Matthew 9:4, as we said, Jesus knowing their thoughts. Matthew 12:25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts." Long before they ever asked him a question, he knew what the question was. They were trying to trip him up, find questions that they could fool him on, but he knew their questions before they even asked. A question of trespasses, there's vile thoughts. Then letter B, there's vain treasures. Vain treasures. "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall give." He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Too often people give to get. Isn't that what all the scammers are after? They're looking for the people that want to give something with a promise of some great return from it. And 99.9% of the time, those things don't work out the way they're planned. People have lost their life savings over scams. Vain treasures. But the gift in this verse, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The gift in this verse is talking about bribes. Don't take bribes. Isn't that a wise statement from so many thousands of years ago? Bribes pervert justice. The corruption in our society is so often because of this very thing. I'm turning back to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel at the end of his days, in 1 Samuel 12:2 says, "And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old," Samuel says, "and gray-headed. Behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here am I, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it you." Samuel was a judge and a prophet in Israel. And at the end of his days, as he was getting ready to pass into eternity, he said before the Jewish people, he said, "Listen, is there anybody I've defrauded? I want my testimony to be clean. Is there anybody I've stolen from? Anybody I've taken advantage of my office and used to receive bribes?" In verse 4, "And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day. They have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness." Samuel died in integrity. Those around him testified of that integrity. You know, I'm glad the office of a prophet was not passed on from one generation to another. You know what the Bible says about Samuel's sons? Said they desired filthy lucre and took bribes. That's the exact word, and took bribes. That's why his sons did not follow him as a prophet of the Lord. Because they weren't qualified in that way. Vain treasures. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Then letter C, there is venomous talk. V-E-N-O-M-O-U-S. V-E-N-O-M-O-U-S. You know what venomous is? Like that which comes out of the mouth of a snake. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. This is what we've already looked at in an earlier verse. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Think before you speak. Engage the brain before you put the mouth in gear. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man." Be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that lieth in you. We're to be ready to speak, but we're to be careful to speak, to make sure that what we say is necessary to be said. That what we say is accurate in what we say. That what we say is necessary. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Think before speaking, Solomon says. Then verse 29 to verse 33, the question of truth. Solomon is wrapping up this whole, we've called it this, the but section. By that we mean the letter B-U-T is in the majority of verses, 77% of the verses. through chapter 15. We get to chapter 16 next time. We're in a whole new section of the book of Proverbs. But in this chapter of contrast, he finishes up by taking us into the daily activities of the believer's life. The daily activities of the believer's life. Quickly, we need to look at these. Letter A, the prayer meeting. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The question of truth, the prayer meeting. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The last place the wicked want to be is in a prayer meeting. And it's not that the person is far from the Lord. It says the Lord is far from them. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Those vile thoughts, that vain treasure, if that's in our heart, that venomous talk, if that's in our heart, the Lord doesn't hear us when we pray. Too many people think that God's like a holy yo-yo. They can do whatever they want to, say whatever they want to, go whatever they want to, think whatever they want to, and then when trouble comes, they're supposed to ask God to help, and God's required to help them. Doesn't work that way. The Lord is far from the wicked. Then letter B, not the prayer meeting, the testimony meeting. The testimony meeting. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. You've heard this proverb. You're a sight for sore eyes. Or that was a sight for sore eyes. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Don't just count your blessings, as the song says. Confess your blessings. A good report makes the bones fat. Now, in our English language, in our thoughts, that's not something we normally want. Well, I'm not heavy set. I'm just big boned. It maketh the bones fat. What does that mean? It means it gives good health. A good report gives good health. A testimony of God's blessing upon yourself. Verbalizing it, saying it out loud in front of other people is good for yourself. Not only good for others to hear about it and be encouraged to thank God for something, but it's good for yourself to give God praise, to give God thanks, to give a good report. The prayer meeting, the testimony meeting, letter C, the gospel meeting. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. The problem in our modern Christianity today is that many are preaching a sinless gospel. A sinless gospel. They're preaching the gift of God is eternal life. And that's great. But they're not preaching the first half of that verse. The wages of sin is death. They're presenting God just as a loving God that wants to save everybody for the sake of his love and wanting to save them. And not mentioning to folks, there's a reason Jesus died on the cross to save us. And that's because of our sin. And you really can't get saved without acknowledging sin first. Sin comes before salvation. The gospel meeting, the ear that heareth the reproof of life, abideth among the wise. Then letter D, the ministry meeting. The ministry meeting. This is what we call the church service. We're already saved. Now it's time to be sanctified. It's time to be set apart. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Aren't you glad? When I first got saved, man, there was a lot of reproof needed. A lot of cleaning up that had to be done. And it took some time. Some of those things disappeared immediately. Some of those took some time and some working on. Now I've been saved 45 years. Isn't it great to get to the point where you no longer need reproof? Everything's been cleaned up and everything's been taken care of and you never make any mistakes or errors or sins? Now you know well enough that that doesn't happen, does it? We still need reproved. We still need instruction. That's why I appreciate Bible preaching and Bible teaching. That's the purpose of it. Songs encourage us. Songs lift us up and build us up. But preaching searches our hearts. And that's what we need. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Every time we read the word, listen to the word, hear the preaching of the word, we ought to be saying, search me, O God, and try my heart. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's what the psalmist prayed. Then lastly, letter E, the worship meeting, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, but before honor is humility. The worship meeting. The gospel meeting is about salvation. The ministry meeting is about sanctification. The worship meeting is about service. Worship is not just praise. Worship is service. We worship God when, like the woman, we get down at His feet and break the alabaster box and anoint the feet of the Lord. That's worship. Notice two things about the worship meeting. First is the learning creed. The learning creed. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You can't receive instruction without the fear of the Lord. That's a key. If we're going to receive anything from God, we've got to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then there's the lowly creed. The learning creed and the lowly creed. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Before the crown is the cross. A lot of folks want the crown without the cross. Doesn't happen. They want honor without humility. Doesn't happen. Not real honor. A lot of folks have gotten honor without any humility. That's not real honor. But Solomon said, before honor is humility, the worship meeting. Proverbs chapter 15, the closing of a very wonderful section in the book of Proverbs. Next time we get together, we'll start on a new section in Proverbs 16. Father, again, thank you for your word. Lord, bless this very short and quick analysis and exegesis of these verses. And Lord, help us to glean and to gain the wisdom of Solomon from those things which he says. Make us, Father, not doers of the word, but just hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.